Welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast, which we record every week in our University Hall studio. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and back for his third appearance on the show is Frank Wintrick, the Director of Performance for UVA Football. Frank, always good to see you. We miss you out in Crozet. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
So preparations are well underway here for the Military Bowl, which will match Virginia against Navy on December 28th in Annapolis. But before we talk about the team's training schedule, let's talk about a player who picked up a huge honor this week, and that's Micah Kaiser, who received the Campbell Trophy, which is often called the Academic Heisman. You've worked with Micah for the better part of 2 years now. What's that experience been like for you?
A blessing. Micah is rare in so many ways. You see the production on Saturdays, and everybody gets a chance to see that. And what people don't see, I think, is the real story. His toughness, his leadership, the work that he puts in, the accountability, the standard that he holds our team to on a daily basis is phenomenal. And Micah is going to be difficult, if not impossible, to replace for what he brings to us off the field. I've been doing this for 16 years now, and I've seen maybe four or five guys in 16 years that bring to the table what Micah Kaiser does. He's a very special young man, and I know regardless of where he goes, he's going to be very successful the rest of his life because of who he is.
And, I mean, the sad part for him this year is he hasn't really been healthy, has he? Went into the opener healthy, and then early in the game he sprains his knee, and he's played with that all year. Then he picked up a thumb injury that he just had surgery on, so he'll play in the bowl game with a cast. So, I mean, that's limited him some, hadn't it?
Absolutely. And Micah's an absolute warrior, and has been great in our room from a preparation standpoint. Chris Ronald, who is his strength coach in our program, has done a phenomenal job, and Micah's done a phenomenal job with the communication of just what he is, feels like he's capable of doing, what he's able to be doing, and then we're building a program around that daily, weekly, monthly, to keep him going, so that he can be out on Saturday and be his best. But a lot of that is Micah being Micah and just being the warrior that he is.
Micah obviously is not the only leader in the senior class. You have his fellow captains, Quinn Blanding and Kurt Benkert, and then guys like Andre Lavroni and Daniel Hamm and all the rest. Did these guys, you know, indeed establish a new standard for the players in this program? I mean, I think that's more than just a hashtag, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been that way since last year. And it started with Dante Wilkins and Matt Johns and some of the guys that we lost last year, Smoke. And it was there last year, and we just were able to name it this year. Mm-hmm. And it was able to finally be something that showed up on Saturdays for us. But those guys have done an incredible job, and I think all of us as coaches can count ourselves as blessed, lucky, whatever you want to call it, to have really high-quality young men in our program who have completely bought into everything we've asked them to do and done it, and that has put us in the position that we're in right now.
This has been a breakout year for Andre Lavroni, in part because he's been able to stay healthy for the first time really in his college career. How big a part of your regimen is injury prevention? Very successful year on that front.
Yeah, we say that the best ability is availability. And so the very first thing that we want to do is make sure that our guys are available on Saturday. Big numbers in the weight room are fun, and they look good on paper, and they look good in YouTube videos. But a lot of times the guys that are squatting the most and benching the most and cleaning the most are standing next to me on Saturday on the football field. And so those things don't matter if the athlete is unable to perform their sport the way that the coaches need them to. And so it's a hallmark of programs that I've been fortunate enough to coach throughout my career. University of North Texas, we had a very similar trend. BYU, we had a very similar trend for the 11 months that I served there. But the reality of the situation is we've got a standard, and we've got a results-driven program that shows up on Saturday. So this year, 21 out of 22 starters went into the Virginia Tech game, and we'll have that same thing going into Navy. We've lost one starter to injury this year. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any team around the country that has that as a consistent marker of injury prevention throughout the year, or injury reduction, I should say.
Micah Kaiser had a conference call yesterday to talk about winning the Campbell Trophy, and he singled out Jordan Mack and Chris Peace as guys he sees moving into even bigger leadership roles next year. Who else do you expect? You talked about the void that Micah will leave on that front, and then there's Quinn and Kurt and the other seniors. Mm-hmm. Who among the younger players do you expect to kind of grow in that role?
I'm really excited about Joey Blunt, and I'm excited about Charles Snowden. Early on, those two have shown a real capacity for leadership and being the types of players, will before skill and buying into the type of program and the type of football player that Coach Mendenhall wants here. So those two guys I'm very excited about. Jordan Ellis is not a vocal guy, but yeah, man, he sets such an incredible example for our team, and he'll be back next year, and so we'll lean on him hard. Ryan Nelson's another young guy who does a nice job up on that offensive line with the young guys in the weight room, and same thing with Chris Glazier. So there is young talent coming in that we're certainly excited about. And then some other guys that are going to have to step up, and we're going to invest a lot of our energy this winter in identifying and nurturing those guys into those roles to develop into the leaders that we need to have an even more successful season next year, because six isn't enough. We've got to keep going and keep growing.
We're exactly 3 weeks out from the bowl game. From the strength and conditioning standpoint, how much of this month is devoted to preparing for this game against Navy, and how much do you try to get a head start on 2018?
Yeah, so everything we've been doing throughout the course of the season from August until now has been with the intent to keep the guys ready once January rolls around. And this part is great, and it's so important that you make a bowl every year postseason, because last year we finished the last week of November against Virginia Tech, and then they have all of December and then half of January off. That's 6 weeks, 7 weeks of time that you lose with the guys being able to train and develop and keep an eye on them and help them grow as football players. So this time is great, particularly for our young guys, because we can continue to lift, we can continue to educate and nurture them with their nutrition and what they need there. So all of this is just part of a bigger plan to get them in the best situation possible, number one, for December 28th, and then number two, for January 17th, when our workouts start back up again and we're ready to rock and roll, getting ready for the 2018 season.
Coach Mendenhall made it clear after his first season here that the players needed to get bigger and stronger to compete in the ACC. The guys are bigger and stronger this year. Where is the team physically now compared to where it was on December 7th? Last year?
Yeah, I mean, they're right on track. And again, I've expressed this with you and to anybody that's asked. Our team would not have survived had we not done what we've done. The physical preparation of this program was so lacking in so many different areas when we got here. Size, strength, conditioning, speed work. And then, of course, you know, one of the things Coach Mendenhall leans on me hardest for is culture development and those kinds of things. And so there was a lot that needed to be done, but first and foremost, we had to create the physical resiliency so that our guys could survive our practices and practice at the rate that our coaches expect them to. So the plan was laid out exactly the way physiologically we needed it to. The wins didn't manifest the way we wanted them to. But this year, our guys, their strength numbers are coming up. We're adding the final piece of our physical preparation model this winter, and there will be a very small handful of guys that can move up there, but the physical preparation process isn't just, well, winter workouts and summer workouts, mm-hmm. and then it is a year-round, 365-day, five-year approach that if you're not looking at the big picture and you're not looking at the meso and macro cycles and how those things are going to stack and how they're going to affect one leading into the other, then we're not going to be able to be successful. And so we're on track. The next important part is recruiting and bringing in the types of players that we are going to be playing against, and that's going to be the length and the frame to be able to put those guys in a position where they will look and perform like the teams we're playing
against. Yeah, because I mean, you've said to me before that if you want big players you need to recruit big players.
Well, if you want tall players, yeah. And I say that to our coaches all the time. If you want guys that are 6'6", you got to recruit guys that are 6'6". If you bring 6'1 guys, I don't have the magic pills down there that make them 6'6 from 6'1". And that's been the thing, just being in this conference for the first time, that I've seen the difference is the length of our players and getting guys in that have those longer frames and longer levers.
I know you tweak your program, you know, constantly. When you start in January 17th, will the points of emphasis be similar to what they were last year in terms of just continuing to add the size, or do you expect any kind of radical change?
Yeah, so the intent of our program is to provide the right training for the right athlete at the right time in their career. And so our real goal is to meet the players where they are, not where we want them to be. And every guy on the team is different, and each proficiency group is a little bit different. And so our guys who are going to be moving into elite don't have the same size and strength gain needs as our guys that are still going to be in the Navy developmental program. And some guys that were in that Navy developmental program will repeat that cycle.
Are the different stages of?
So there's five different stages. This winter, we're going to introduce our elite program, which is the manifestation of all of our training means. And we're really excited about that because it gives us the opportunity to do a lot of really fun, cool stuff with our guys. Underneath that is our Delta program, which is kind of like an intermediate program. Our Navy developmental program is under that, and that's really our beginner program. And then we have two what we call pre-developmental programs, which is our orange and white developmental programs. White basically is teaching the guys all of our movement patterns, squat pattern movement, press pattern movement, pull pattern movement, and all of our speed dynamics without any external load, external resistance. Orange, we do all the same types of things, but we add an external resistance in the form of a kettlebell or a sandbag or a barbell. And then when we get into Navy, that's when we really start grinding away with the heavy weights and higher volumes and those kinds of things.
A lot was made in Coach Mendenhall's first year here of the tempo runs that the players had to pass in order to be cleared even to practice. You didn't hear really much about it in year two. The tempo run's still there, and is it just a case of guys being prepared and being able to pass them easily?
Yeah, they're there, and it's a part of our program. You know, it was a big deal at BYU because it was something those guys hadn't done before, and then we brought it here. And, again, the conditioning wasn't at the level that we expect it to be. And, you know, it's just one of those things that once it becomes a normal part of the program and the standards are very clearly defined, you know, it's easy. And really, you don't hear about it as much because our pre-developmental standards are lower than what we introduced when we first got here, but we didn't have time for a pre-developmental group, you know. And so even we accelerated our program in January of 2016 when we first got here. And it looks quite a bit different now, just as far as when those guys move up, it's much more progressional, and it's not as alarming to them when they first get exposed to it. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I think early on was kind of like a, oh, my gosh, what is this? And now, you know, guys are like, yeah, this is what we do. This is how we get in shape. And they've seen the results, and they've seen how they feel. And that's been a good thing, and that's what we want.
I think 17 true freshmen have played this season. Fans have seen these guys on the field, Charles Snowden, Elliot Brown, John Kervin, Joey Blunt, Zane Zandier, Chris Glazier, guys you've mentioned. A lot of these guys are going to look significantly different, aren't they, if things go as planned by the time their third or fourth year, like a Charles Snowden?
Yeah, when things go as planned, there's not going to be any deviation from what we want or expect. And if you look at the standards that we set for the players this offseason, all of them have been met. And I don't expect any differently with this group of young men that we've brought in. I'm excited to see Charles Snowden be over 250. I'm excited to see John Kervin be over 300. And I would expect those things to be in place. And we have the plan in place, working with Randy Bird, our nutritionist, and working with Kelly Pugh, our sports medicine director, and working with me and my staff, Chris Ronald, Kevin Heiberger, Vince Croce, Nate Potocznik. Every one of those guys has a week-by-week plan of how much weight they need to gain to get to their goal weights. And we've established goal weights for each of those guys, and they will look significantly different next year. And when they follow the plan, they're going to be an impressive group to put out on the field next September 1st.
There's a small number of first-year guys who redshirted this year. Ryan Nelson, you mentioned, Darnell Pratt, Fannin, a couple others. How much more are you able to do in season with those guys if they're not – once it becomes kind of clear that they're not being used in game prep, do they lift more than their classmates?
Yeah, we don't really look at it that way because Coach Mendenhall doesn't frame the fifth year the way a lot of places do. And so what those guys will do is instead of going in meetings and those kinds of things, they come with us and we basically get a head start on our winter program. And so we run through a basic winter model with them, counting the practices as our conditioning sessions. They get the same number of lifts in that our young guys that are playing get, but then we'll also start teaching them our speed dynamics program. So they're getting more familiar with that, and they're also getting more familiar with our change of direction program. And so they've got a real jump start on the winter than some of those other guys do. And then it's really exciting because, you know, walking through the weight room and watching these guys lift right now, man, they're really becoming proficient with our squatting and our pressing. And it's fun when you see a kid like Elliot who's 6'5", and Charles, who's, you know, close to 6'7", and those guys are squatting top of the thigh parallel with really good chest position and really good technique. And it's like, man, you know, we do take a lot of time on the front end. But it's going to save us a lot of headache on the back end. And I always say that to coaches. I say it to athletes. I say it to parents. And people kind of look at me sideways like, well, you don't lift when they first get here. I said, no, they don't. But we'll trade 12 weeks on the front end for 12 months on the back end, meaning, man, if a kid blows a pec in the weight room or he blows a disc in the weight room, man, that's a 12-month rehab that you're looking at. And some of those could be career-ending. But if we teach the guys the right way to do it and we teach them the movement patterns and they learn them exactly the way we want them to, man, they're going to be set for the next, 4 or 5 years in our program.
You study training techniques used by the military. You've brought veterans in to work with the players and active military personnel. Given your interest in warrior culture and developing that here, is it cool to be headed to the Military Bowl and to be near the – will you be able to pop over to the Naval Academy or – talk with your counterparts there?
I would love to, and it's such an honor to be in a bowl that honors our military and our veterans. It's actually been pretty neat because a couple of the guys that I've worked with in the past have texted me or emailed me and said, man, this is fitting that you end up in the Military Bowl. And I just have so much respect and admiration for our veterans, and I lean on those guys a lot. Not so much for the X's and O's of strength and conditioning, but what are the mindset cues that we can use, what are the cultural cues that we can use to help build a really unique, special culture for our guys that endures not just while they're here, but for the rest of their lives.
One of the things you've worked hard in instilling and building in the players is resilience. And at what point this season did it become apparent to you that, all right, this team maybe had more than last year's team did? Is this just a more talented team than last year's, or are there intangibles this team has that have been developed that have led to the bowl bid and all that?
I think we've handled some situations much better this year than last year. I mean, essentially, it's really not that much different of a team personnel-wise. It's a lot of the same types of guys or the same guys that we went out with last year. I think they understand the system better. I think they understand what's expected of them better. I think our coaches understand their capabilities better, and that was showcased on our offense more and more because we knew exactly who could do what, and our offense was built around that. And then the guys knew exactly what Coach Mendenhall was expecting on defense. I think last year there wasn't as much of a rooted understanding of the concepts of our defense, and so our guys struggled. But the resilience part has been neat, and Georgia Tech is really where I feel like it was the most evident. It was really telling where we had a swing there right coming out of the second half, where we went down by 14, and it was like boom, boom.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, you know, a game that was really close, is all of a sudden we're down by 14, and it was like, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? And to our players' credit, they fought back and ended up winning that game. And I think that was the probably the highlight of the season for me, to see those guys come back, whereas before last year, you could watch it. You could watch them go the absolute opposite direction. As soon as the bad things happened, it was like, uh-oh, here we go again. We're used to this role. And instead, they flipped that, and they ended up taking control of the game. And we saw that in the Miami game, the back and forth in the Miami game. We're up by 14, and then they come up and tie it. Then we jump up by 14, and they come up and tie it. And obviously that one didn't end the way we wanted it to, but we are making an improvement there. We have to get to a point where our players expect to win the game, and I think that has been the biggest difference that I've noticed coming from BYU, and I was only there for 11 months. But those players expected to win every game they played. And I want our players to believe that no matter who is lined up on the other side of the field, we can go out there and win if we do exactly what we've been coached to do and do it the way we've been coached to do it. And when our mindset gets to that point, I think we will turn the corner, so to speak, with this program as a whole.
Another game I saw, it was early on and maybe not to as large a degree as in Georgia Tech, was at Boise State when Boise scored, went up 7-0. It's still early in the game at that point, but, you know, you're on the road against a good opponent, and, you know, I think that everybody just steadied themselves and got back in the game and then took it over to, you know, that was, to me, one of the first signs that, like, all right, things may be flipping in that regard.
Yeah, for sure, and to do that at a place where traditionally a very good program doesn't lose. They win at home, and I was very proud of our guys for that.
As we've talked about in the past, you are close with your counterpart across the street with UVA basketball, Mike Curtis. You guys have different schedules. You have a lot on your plates. Do you see each other more when you're both out of season and talk more out of season, or are you able to get together periodically?
I don't know if there's a time in the year that Mike and I aren't doing something. We're not in season, and you know, for a strength coach, in season is different than a sport coach. I love Mike, and we've been fortunate to spend more time together this past year. And now that we know each other better, it's much easier to pick up the phone or shoot a text message and ask a question, or, you know, hey, just come over and let's sit down and visit. Man, he's been so helpful for me in learning to navigate Virginia, and you know, some of the unique peculiarities just of our athletic department and our school. It's a very special place, and who would know it better for a strength coach than a guy who went to school here and played here and now has the ability to coach here. Really special. So I really cherish our friendship, and not just professionally but personally. He's a really good man, and I'm lucky to be able to collaborate with him on a daily basis.
Well, I appreciate you making time for this, and we'll have you back in the spring to talk maybe at the end about how things go at that point. But in the meantime, thanks again, and good luck with the ball.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for the platform, and we'll talk soon.
Tickets are going fast for the Military Bowl. If you're interested in attending the game and have not purchased your tickets yet, you might want to get on it quickly. Check virginiasports.com for details. We're expecting a big turnout of UVA fans in Annapolis, and it should be a great time. Closer to home, final exams start today at the university, and things will be quiet on the competitive front athletically until next Saturday, December 16th, when the men's basketball team returns to action at John Paul Jones Arena. For information on all our teams, visit virginiasports.com. As always, thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with another podcast.